if we abide in him. If you have your Bibles, please turn your Bible to John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, and it may bear more fruit. For you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. It takes us to another passage, which is in 1 Corinthians, which points out the fact that we must build our foundation on the solid rock. If we don't build our foundation on the solid rock, there's chances and more likely that our foundation will eventually crumble. This world has a way of crumbling us. And if we don't have Jesus as our foundation, we're going to really be in trouble somewhere down the road. See, the point of my lesson today is that motherhood is a divine assignment, and it's given to us by God. And the way that we're going to be successful in it is that we give our children a firm foundation, that we provide them with the tools that are necessary to be able to fight the devil in this world that we're living in. To be a mother, a life bearer, is an extraordinary thing. It's something that I'm deeply connected. Giving birth to my three beautiful children, my three beautiful daughters, one who's now in heaven, and a handsome son, is the greatest thing I ever done in my entire life. When my first daughter, Kimberly, was born in 1973, I got my first taste of motherhood, and it ignited a deep love within me. Many years later, I had the great privilege of experiencing this love grow as my family expanded with my marriage to Philip and his children, who became my stepchildren. I cannot even express the kind of love I feel seeing all my children now with their own babies, my grandchildren. I assure you, it's a force unto its own. Today, because of my family, I'm constantly reminded of how deep and profound a mother's love truly is. However, it took many years and hard life lessons to get me to where I am today. You see, I was not spiritually connected to what love truly was. I had no idea what motherhood was when I was raising my children. But today, like I said, as I stand here, I can now tell you that I have found that profound love and I have found that connection. As I was preparing this message, I began to reflect on the road that I had traveled that had brought me here today and what made me the mother that I am and the grandmother that I've become. I recall a time when my children were young and I had not read the Bible much because I was not a reader. And because I didn't read the Bible and because I didn't know God, my children and I suffered the consequences. I was raising my children on blind faith. However, even then, God was with me. He knew my situation. He knew where I was. And He knew where He wanted me to be. I remember a particular day when He came and He taught me my first lesson on motherhood. I'd like to share that story with you. As I sat on the side of the bed, I was exhausted. I was mentally calculating all that I had done for my children that day. I'd nursed the baby. I'd tended her every need. I'd washed loads of laundry and cleaned the house. I'd taken all three of them to the park and I'd played with them. On the way home, I stopped at the grocery store and I bought what I could with what little money I had to feed them a decent meal that night. Without reservation, I felt like I had given my children my best effort for the day. I felt like I'd been a, quote, good mother. I'd given and given and given until I had nothing left. Everything I had within me had been poured out for them, and at the end of the day, every reservoir of strength was gone. Because the only thing that my reservoir held was things of this world and what the world had taught me that a mother should be. What the world seeing me as a mother and how a mother is supposed to be a mother, if you get my drift. I was raising three beautiful, God-given children all by myself. Well, the events of the day, for some reason, had not fulfilled me. No matter how much we love our children, and no matter what they give us and what we've got to give them, isn't it strange how, at the end of the day, we still are not fulfilled? I had feelings of anger and loneliness and desperation, even feelings of defeat, because I still had this emptiness inside me. I put my baby Amy in her crib. Then I sent my daughter and my son to their rooms with instructions to play and leave me alone. And truthfully, it was not a request made in any kind of a love voice. I guarantee it. It was like, go to your room and leave me alone. Because I had had it. Okay. Then I remember the tears running down my face. Because I was feeling this angry feeling and this spirit of frustration, and I still had this emptiness and I couldn't understand it, and I took it out on my children because I didn't know what else to do with it. You see, I had never talked to Jesus and in a way, you know, that so what do I do with, you know, all this, and where do I put it? So what I would do is I would put it off on my children because I had no other avenue. I had no other escape. You see, I was still in the world. All I knew was to follow what the world did, you know, and what my worldly instincts were. So as the tears ran down my face, I came to the conclusion that I was a troubled young girl with deep needs of my own. I was carrying burdens that only God could carry. I couldn't understand why, in spite of all my good intentions, I still had these feelings and I lashed out at my children. So all of a sudden, as I sit there on the side of the bed, I felt this deep, overwhelming need to drop to my knees. And for the first time, I cried out, God, help me. Please help me. I stayed on my knees there for a little while, and I cried out to God, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried until I had no more tears. And I thought to myself, nothing's going to happen. Nothing. I still feel the same. Nothing's going to happen. So I got up, and I picked up my son's bottle, and I walked into my small kitchen. I reached over to turn on the water to rinse his bottle out. And all I can tell you is I don't know what happened next. Because all of a sudden, I was speaking in a language that I did not know. Lord, I don't know how long I was gone, but I was gone. I was speaking in tongues, and it was the deep crying out to the deep. Lord, he had showed up for me that day. I'm telling you, it was an experience that I had never experienced. And after that, I was like, what happened? But all of a sudden, I felt like a different woman. I felt like that there was nothing that I could not accomplish. There was nothing that I could not do. And I had this love inside of me that I had never had before. You see, I had never experienced love growing up. I didn't have a mother. I didn't have a father. I didn't have an example. I did not have any kind of instructions as to how to be a mother. But praise God, after that day, Jesus came into my life. Now, I can't tell you that I changed that day, because my children would tell you I did not. It would be years to come. It took a lot of healing and many times of failing and an ocean of tears to finally to arrive to where I could be in the state of actually seeing the labor of my fruit. But I know this. Had I stayed steadfast when I should have, and I hadn't got off the path like we all do, I would have seen the fruit of my labor a whole lot sooner. I would have reaped blessings a whole lot sooner had I stayed on the path. But nevertheless, I did not. So I would suffer the consequences, and so would my children in the years to come. You see, if we don't put God first and we don't make him Lord of our life, we are going to suffer the consequences, and so are our children. We may not see it today, and we might not see it tomorrow, because we're actually in a state of blindness so that we can't see it. But nevertheless, it's taking place. And somewhere down the road, you're going to say, I had wished I had sought Jesus earlier. I wish I had made him Lord earlier so that I could equip my children sooner, so they would not have to suffer the consequences of not knowing him as Lord of their life. This takes me to another story. Now, this is about a man. So, guys, you're not exempt. By no means. Although it's Mother's Day, I'm a mother, I can say what I want to, so I'm going to bring you fathers into this. You got the same responsibility as a godly parent. Even a greater one, actually. Because according to the Bible, you're to lead by example in your household. In today's society, we have this quirky idea of what motherhood and fatherhood is all about. But I'm about to tell you a story that's going to prove to you that the worldview that we have today as a mother, a good mother, and a good father is totally wrong. You see, the worldview today is that if we give our children everything they want, buy them toys, buy them good, you know, clothes, you know, make sure that they're, you know, in the trend. You know, give them their free will to be themselves. Let them express themselves. If we nurture their every need and want, we're a good mother. We're a good parent. And we're very quick this day not to offend our children. Yeah. The worldview is, let's don't offend the child. You know, he's got a right to feel and say what he wants to say. Mm-mm. That's not what God's word says. Because if you go to Samuel, the second chapter, around about the 27th verse, it'll tell you a story about a man named Eli. Now, Eli served as a high priest of Israel during the time of the judges. Scripture tells us that while Eli seemed to be God wholeheartedly, he had a weakness that eventually led his family to a downfall. His problem? His problem was that he was more partial to his sons than he was to God. When they pursued sex outside of marriage and indulged in wicked behavior and even blasphemed God, Eli honored his son so much that he scarcely disciplined them for their behavior. He let them have their, quote, free will, freedom of speech, freedom to be who they were, you know. And a lot of times parents do this today because they're afraid their children won't love them. But I got news for you ladies and fathers. That's selfishness. To sacrifice your child and when you are directing them to direct them in the right godly way so that they will love you, that's selfishness. That's not what God intended. Eli eventually reaped the consequences. His two sons were killed. And he died from shock. The position that God gave his family as the high priest of Israel, well, needless to say, they lost it. And all of this was happening while his widowed daughter-in-law was giving birth to a son, and she named him Ichabod. Now, all that ties in because Ichabod, the meaning of his name, is the glory of God has departed. Think about it, ladies. If you put your kids first and you don't put God first, the glory of the Lord is going to depart. As I read Eli's story, I thought some of you might have a question or two, and you might say to me, well, how does this story applicable to my life? Well, after all, my 2-year-old does not blaspheme God. My 7-year-old is hardly sexual promiscuous, and the dirtiest thing my baby does is fill her diapers. Well, like I said, it has a deeper meaning. It has a deep meaning. It has a spiritual meaning. It has a meaning that speaks to all of us if we will listen to what God is saying. He's saying, don't put your children first before me. It's a question of honor. And you know what makes it a question of honor? The question that God actually asked Eli. He said, Eli, why do you give all your best to your children and give me second place? God himself spoke it. Regardless of our children's ages and stages, God always demands first place in our hearts. He wants you and me to honor him more than we honor anything. Some parents may say that this is a fine line because parenthood is the way that we honor God. And that taking care of our children, even going beyond the call of duty for them, well, that's not the issue. The heart of the matter is that nobody, not even our kids, should have a higher place in our hearts than God should. At least they become our idols. My children idols, your children idols, you may say. It seems almost ludicrous to refer to them that way, but yet it's exactly what they're becoming when we honor them more than we honor God. Let me ask you a few questions. Do you ever break away from your children, no matter what their ages, and spend time alone with God? Do you intentionally communicate with them as much as you do, communicate with God as much as you do with your children? Do you regularly focus on getting more of God instead of getting more of your kids? Do your kids see you read the Bible as much as they see you watch TV? Is your relationship with God a higher priority than anything else in your life? And even more importantly, do you teach your children anything of God? I know that it's important to teach our children the alphabet and cooking, and it's important to cook them healthy meals, and it's important to get your child into Little League, and all these things are great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that we become such a spiritual legalist that we ignore the realities of motherhood. Teaching the alphabet, cooking healthy, and involving our children in sports are excellent things to do. Figuring out how to be the best mom possible is good and admirable, and I commend you for that. However, we cannot, indeed we must not, allow these pursuits for our children to minimize our pursuit for God. You see, if we don't become godly, our children won't become godly. We've got to get God down deep inside of us so that we could pour it out to them. We can't be fooled into thinking that all the great things that we do, that this worldview that we know, is more important in being a parent than having a relationship with God, because that's our foundation, and that's a foundation that will not crumble. The stakes are too high, for we risk our families becoming like Eli's if we put our children before God. He must have the highest place in our hearts. It took reflecting on that day and many other days, like I said, of absolute frustration and exhaustion, remembering the desperation that I felt from time lost with my children, because that's exactly what happened, because I didn't come to God earlier. Took a whole lot of prayer to bring me to that point. It was not until I repented and made Jesus Lord of my life that I could actually say to God, "Lord, what is your will for me? How can I serve you today?" However, when you ask God that question, you must be ready to obey whatever he tells you. Whether it's to homeschool our children or take them to the library, minister to a neighbor, or even spend time alone. It's amazing the strength that he will give us when we carry out his plan for our lives. By seeking God first, all the many aspects of our lives will fall into place for our good, for our children's good, and for his glory. Nothing will make our homes more radiant than his presence. Nothing will enhance our children's development more than having mothers who really know God. Moreover, nothing will make us better mothers than giving our God first place in our lives. It all comes down to a question of honor. In the past, God was giving me every opportunity to heed his instruction through his word and through people. I failed horribly because I did not listen. Had I listened and obeyed my children, and I could have escaped a lot of pain. God's holy word assures us that our household will experience more blessings than pain in this life if we as parents will put God first in our lives. Don't you want the pain to stop? If you don't believe this, I challenge you today to try it. You'll experience the blessings that I have since I believed. I close with this truth. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Mothers, fathers, don't let this world fool you into thinking that you're a good parent. Because you're not a good parent unless you are giving your children something of eternal value. Introduce them to Christ today. Give them something that's going to take them to eternity. Love your children like Christ loved us. He gave his life for us so that we could spend eternity with him. Lay down your life for him so that your children will have a chance and the tools to make him Lord of their life, and they can spend eternity with him. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you, God, that we don't have to rely on this world, Father. That we don't have to depend upon what this world tells us is the right thing. Lord, that we have something that is even more reliable that we can go to. Someone that we can turn to who is absolute truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that our salvation does not depend upon what we learn from worldview. That you provided us truth. And truth overrides the worldview. Thank you, God, that you've instilled in us the love of your Son, Jesus. And thank you, God, to all who will draw from the well, that they can release springs of living water to their children. Thank you. Thank you, God, for honor. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.